guys, welcome back to Skincare Anarchy. This is your host, Ekta, and I am so excited about our guest today. I am such a fan and have been for quite some time now. She is just such a light. Every time I watch her content, her videos, it's just a brightening that happens in my day, you know? And so I can't rave enough about just her talent and her work. So, and a lot of you might know her actually as the Lost Kardashian, but I think she has rightfully earned her space as truly, you know, part of the Kardashian family at this point. And if you've watched her skits, you know what I mean. So without further ado, I want to introduce you guys to Yuri Lamasvilla. Welcome to the show, Yuri. I'm so honored to be hosting you.
Hi, thank you so much. It makes me so happy to know that you really like my content and that it makes you happy. That the I really appreciate it. So thank you so much.
Of course. No, it does. It comes from the heart, because honestly, I work in the medical field, and I know a lot of people out there are stressed right now, and just to have like true comedic relief, I feel like today it's hard to find that, you know? Like, I grew up as a millennial, yeah. So like it's hard to make us laugh. It's the truth. But you do such an amazing job at it, and I love your videos and your content. You want to get started and learn about you, because, you know, I've always been curious, like, what got you into acting and what got you into comedy specifically?
Well, honestly, I think I just live my life this way. I never really like to take myself too seriously. Corporate jobs were never in my realm, and I never really excelled in that, only because I just strive to always be creative and think outside the box. So like anything so structural and so serious, I always try to find the joke in it. Yeah. And I also love reality TV. So that's really how I just got started with my comedic content. But I live this way naturally. Like, I try not to take myself seriously, try to look at the joke and everything and look at life, you know, in a more positive light, especially after COVID and the pandemic. You know, I felt like it was really hard to get out of that state if you were like in a really, you know, bad state or because of the pandemic. So yeah. I really, really always try to look at the positives of things. And I found that through comedy. So that's really it was my escape. And then I did it for, you know, myself. And then I let everybody see and everyone loved it. So I'm very grateful that people love it.
It's truly, truly awesome. And I think that, you know, you made such a good point about, like, you know, going into corporate. I think a lot of people, I know, like, you know, back when, you know, I was deciding in college, a lot of people went the corporate route. And even now when I speak to them, they're like, yeah, you know, there's a burnout phase that happens there, you know, and it kind of forces you to figure out what you really want to do, you know, for your own self. And I think it's very relatable. You know what I mean? What you said that's really what I'm trying to say. It's very relatable. Yeah. And you know, I think a lot of people go through that. But I mean, I just love how you channeled, you know, that exploration in such a creative outlet. And it's really just, you know, so appreciated by your fans. We love you. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. But I want to actually ask you, what inspired you to pick the Kardashians as your muses for your comedy skits?
Well, I just think that if I could embody anybody, it would be them, only because I'm a huge fan. Always have been. Always loved watching Keeping Up, watched every episode. And I think the impression just came naturally. And so I just took that and ran with it. And through the years, we've developed the characters even more, bringing in props and wigs and, you know, more of their characteristics on camera. And I also thought they were really funny. I think they're really funny people, like just in general. And they're also people that don't take anything to the heart. Like they take things very lightly, you know, especially, yeah. I know, you know, that Kardashians don't get as much grace as the average celebrity does. So the way that they take it on the chin, and, you know, they love the videos too. So the fact that they can take a moment and laugh at themselves as well, I mean, it just shows how, you know, they're just lighthearted, funny people. So I think I just gravitated towards all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. And I've been a fan of Keeping Up with the Kardashians for like literally, like, you know, as long as I can remember watching reality TV. I think a lot of people like won't admit that, but like they were like ever since like, you know, the Real World and stuff, right? With reality TV, like the Kardashians were like the next big thing, you know, that all of us were so excited to watch their show. And I think that's something that needs to be acknowledged, you know, at the end of the day, because people, you're right. You know, they do get a lot of grief, and I think celebrities have that burden, but you know, it's at the end of the day, it's, definitely more so with them. I've noticed that as well, you know, but I love them. And I think they're absolutely, you know, it's hilarious watching the show. So when I see your skits, it's always like, you know, it adds on to that. And it's so relatable because you always reference something, you know, in their actual like show or in an episode. And it's just really cool. So yeah. So, you know, I have to ask you, who is your favorite Kardashian and why? Because I know we all have our favorites. Mine is Kourtney, by the way.
Yours is Kourtney.
Yeah.
Of course. Kourtney is such a fan favorite. I would say my favorite is Kim, only because I love her entrepreneurial spirit. I love her business drive. I love pretty much everything about her. But if I didn't care about what anybody thought about me, I would be so Kourtney, because I just love the way that she thinks, her outlook on life. So yeah. I would say that it's Kim, but if I live more carefree spirit, then definitely Kourtney.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you do such a great job of like, you know, like transition, like, you know, just kind of channeling them in your skits. So I'm like, I was curious. I'm like, I wonder which one she gravitates more towards, because your Kourtney is like on point. Like it's you know, so yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. I thought though. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say Kourtney is my favorite to impersonate, only because she's so funny. She's the one, you know, everyone's there to see Kourtney, you know. Yeah. So I love doing my impressions of her, but in more so real life, I think I gravitate more towards Kim for sure.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, I mean, Kim's definitely, you know, she's like the
icon.
She's iconic. She's literally iconic. Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see that. No, in terms of from the acting perspective, though, is it difficult to play one versus the other? Like, you know, with the different personalities? Because they have such different personalities, I feel like.
They really do. It's easy to embody them only because I know them in and out. But it is difficult to, I guess you could say, shift from one character to the next, because I'm in one character mode so much, and then we shift over to the next one, and it's kind of like a little bit of a learning curve every time I get into the new character. I almost have to like read some lines or say some of their iconic lines right before I get into character. So shifting that is a little difficult, yeah. But then when I look at the edits and I play it back, I'm like, oh yeah, we nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that like one thing that really I found it to be so like hilarious, obviously, but also like very clever on your part was when you were doing Chloe's like nails, for example, and you used the post-its. Mm-hmm. I mean, I died laughing the first time I saw it. I was just like, this is brilliant. Like, I don't know what gave her the post-it idea, but it's absolutely brilliant. So I guess a follow-up to that would be like, you know, what is your process of getting ready for the actual, like, you know, like in terms of like the props you're going to use or like what you're going to do to really bring the characters to life? Like, what is that process like for you?
Yeah, well, what I do, like a little debrief before every video. Like, I will tune into one of the episodes of the Kardashians. I'll watch an old episode, a new episode, and then I'll watch some highlights of them to see like if there's anything new that I catch of the character. So yeah, it really is a process trying to understand their mannerisms and specifically their cadence with the way that they speak, because they all speak really different. So it's really just kind of almost being obsessed with their character on reality TV and then just embody that. So that would be probably the process that I do every time.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think, you know, like another thing is like I've notice that every good actor, like you guys, you know, you have a part of your personality as well, right? And all of your work, it's a part of it shines through as well. So do you feel like that? I mean, do you feel that sometimes it's Yuri also, you know, kind of in there and in subtle ways? I mean,
I'm absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that I over dramatize, obviously, the characters. And that's a little bit of me and my quirkiness and my goofiness. And there are some things that I will embody in the character that the actual person doesn't do this in real life, but Yuri in the character, everyone knows and loves. Kind of right. Like the post-it notes, you know, like everyone knows Chloe has long nails, but Yuri as Chloe, the character, she has the post-its, you know, and they do fall off, and she has the crazy hair and the crazy wig. So those are little glimpses of Yuri.
Yeah, no, I've definitely, I was like, I mean, I've watched almost every video, right? On every TikTok that you've made. And I've, because it's just, I mean, for everyone listening, if you haven't seen it yet, I mean, it's addictive. Like, it's literally like rediscovering Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So, it's very cool. And the way that you, I think, deliver every single character or every single personality is just so, I don't know. It hits home, in a very relative way. Like, I feel like I know you, just by like watching the skit. So that's why I asked that, is like, because it, it shows that it's your work. Like, you've put yourself also into this. So yeah, pretty
Yeah,
cool.
and it is me, and I like when I get to see glimpses of me, come out as well, because
Yeah.
those are the characters that they love.
Right. Exactly. Now, I want to ask, because I know you write. These the skits are amazing for every video, and I'm just curious, like, how long does that take? And if there's ever a point where you hit like kind of like writer's block or something, I mean, do you ask yourself, like, what would Kim Kardashian do in this situation? Or how does that whole creative process work for you for writing out the skits and making them, the way they are?
Every day I ask, like, what would Kim do? Or, like, how can we make this a reality TV moment? Just over dramatizing, like, mundane conversations. It's easy for me to be inspired. I would say that it's really easy for me to be inspired by any everyday, kind of moment to over dramatize it. And then all of a sudden it becomes a skit. But when it comes down to the writing process, I do face writer's block. And when I do face it, I don't create. I've created probably my worst work while I was just trying to push out content, and it didn't feel natural. So the important thing is to just never take it so seriously, because I think that's when most of my writer's block comes on. But a lot of the times it could take about a day or two to write an entire script. And then what I do is, my process is, I like to sleep on it, because then it just feels rushed. And then the next day, with a fresh set of eyes, I look at the script again, and we can change things. And then on the day that I film it, sometimes I go also off script and improvise, and then it just turns out to be funnier. So that entire process, like, in itself, probably happens with every single video. But I would just say, like, I hate writer's block. It really sucks, but it just reminds me that I need to remember why I do this, and remember that it's fun, and remember that, this is something that you really like. So, like, just don't force it,
Exactly. No, that makes so much sense. And it comes through, it really comes through. And you're like, yeah. I mean, it's not like forced or fake or anything. Like, it's like a really genuine, like, great comedy skit. That's how I see it. Like, I grew up loving, I think a lot of us did, great comedy, whether it's on TV, whether it's stand up, whatever. And I think comedians have that, where it's almost like half impromptu and half like, just, and it's that natural, like that organic way of delivering, the jokes that, yeah, that really make it stick. And you just, I feel like you've mastered that. It's so cool. So,
Thank you so much.
yeah, I love that. And I actually want to ask you, because this is, I mentioned to you, Courtney's my favorite, right? And the reason for that I have to share with you is I grew up watching Daria. I don't know if you watched Daria on Cartoon Network or wherever it was, it was a show that used to play back in the early 2000s. And I used to
Never heard
really
of that.
relate. Have you? Yeah, it's a really like dry humor, but like very sarcastic, very like monotone humor. And I, whatever
My
I, you know, Courtney for me is like Daria mixed with her, Courtney's own personality, because it's just such a unique way, right, of just being and like her personality. And so my question is, like, has that ever been like challenging for you, like really nailing that dry humor? I mean, it doesn't look like it's a challenge. You do it so effortlessly, but has that ever been like, a thing where you have had to work on it more or
To
not?
me, I would say to me, no, only because dry humor is what resonates with me, in my opinion. I have to look up that Daria, because I'm a
Oh, you
huge
gotta
fan
watch
of,
it.
I gotta watch it, because I'm a huge fan of really dry humor. And I think that's the humor that I gravitate more towards. And that's what comes the most natural. I don't know if you, I mean, I'm sure you've seen The Office. I love The Office. That show alone is the reason that I learned, that's how I learned that I love dry humor, and that The Office is dry humor. Just like naturally being, it's just so funny. Like, no one's trying too hard. Like, it's not forced. They're just like living life, and they're just like, dramatic about the smallest things. So I think that humor probably sits the best with me, and I receive it very well. So I think naturally it just, the way I impersonate when I do my impressions, like it just comes out that way. But I've loved The Office. I watch every episode. Like it's the same as the Kardashians. So I think it probably most definitely comes natural. So no, I wouldn't ever say I found it difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you do it beautifully. So it doesn't surprise me that you didn't find it difficult, because I know what you mean with The Office. And I think a lot of it is also like, and again, this is like just good comedy, where I feel like when people just like pause and make a funny face or something, you know, like half the time, that's the most hilarious part of the skit. And I've noticed that a lot in your work, is that there's like looks and like little like pauses and stuff, and that really brings everything together. It's just very well executed. So that's what I just had to know though.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's also the, you know, studying the framing of the production. So when with post-production with The Office and reality TV shows, a lot of those frames come out as well. And, you know, when you're watching these TV shows or these reality TV shows, you see that like some moments weren't clipped from that angle, or like this is a different angle, or someone speaking and you can tell that that event hadn't happened yet. It's studying the framing of it too. And I think what people really find it really funny is that it really embodies the, you know, the image of a reality TV show, of like the pauses and the looks and the way the angles are and the framing of people. Like, so I think that too, studying that, I mean, it's all an entire process.
Absolutely. No, I can definitely, I can only imagine, you know, I just, you know, I think so much goes into, that's why I'm asking so many questions, because I always, whenever I'm watching, you know, the videos, I'm always like, I wonder how long it took her to really get this like perfect, because it just comes off so, you know, just you make it look easy is what I'm trying to say, you know, and I know a lot goes behind it. So, but I want to ask you, Yuri, you know, I think it's safe to say that you're quickly becoming an international sensation in the realm of comedy, especially as a, you know, female like actress and a comic. You know, I'm curious, how does that work with your day-to-day life? You know, like, I know that a lot of things happened in a very quick amount of time, right? You know, and taking off. So how has that impacted you, like, you know, just your day-to-day life? I know you're a mom and you have a family, and so how's that been?
Yeah, it's been an entire juggling act, you know. But yeah. I actually read that in a Dr. Seuss book, saying that life is just all a balancing act. And that's very true. So in the time that I grew my following, I was a new mom as well. So it was really hard trying to navigate that. But I think I always just remembered my priorities, and, you know, being a mom comes first for me. Now it just becomes easier as I do more, because my son's in school now. So I'm able to create full time. And my boyfriend also helps, you know, with our son. So we split him, you know, I have him in the morning, he'll have him in the afternoon and the evening. So then we'd like swap his nighttime routine. It's all about being on a schedule, honestly, and making sure you stick to the schedule, but also knowing that it's okay if I don't put this video out today because my son is sick. So all last week, my son was sick with a bug. We had to, you know, reschedule a lot of things. And though, you know, sometimes it's a bummer because I want to be present for the following, you know, that we created. You know, it's important to also show up for your priorities and stuff like that. So it's really all just a balancing act. And I don't even know how I do it. A lot of people are like, my family's like, how do you do it? How do you know? Like, I really don't know. I just try to do what I can. I look at my tasks as like a brick of ice, and I'm just chipping away at it however I can. Whatever gets done, will get done. And whatever doesn't, will get done tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I love that though. I love that mindset. It's kind of like, take it as it comes, you know? And I think that that's so important these days, especially to put that message out there, because I think a lot of people are, you know, they're kind of like going through it. You know, it's a hard time right now. And especially when you have kids, it just gets so much more busy, you know, and just less time overall.
I know. I look at these creators and I'm like, you're putting out 6 videos a day. How do you do it? Like, how in the world do you have so much time to do what you do? But then I realize, oh, it's because I'm a mom, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm a mom first. So yeah, I also try not to compare myself.
Yeah, no, of course. And you know, being a mom is your number one job. And you know, I know that for women, it's always like this, you know, this multi-tiered, you know, thing that you go through, I think, with success. And no one, we don't acknowledge that enough, I feel like, you know, because as the women have a lot of other stressors on us at all times. And I think when you are able to be so successful, create such a, you know, such a movement, you know, in your industry, in your niche, like that's a huge testament to not only your talent and your hard work, but also like your ability to multitask, you know? And I just feel like women need to be congratulated more on that level, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I believe so too. There's a lot of pressure that's put on just women, you know, because of, I guess, traditional ways, but now women are more, you know, we want to be empowering women. And now women are doing a lot more, but still held to the traditional expectations, which really sucks as women, because we have to, you know, do what everyone thinks that women should do traditionally, but then we also want to branch out and succeed and accomplish things as well.
Exactly. And also, I mean, I just want to mention for everyone listening, I mean, you haven't just, you know, like gained your following based on your comedy, but you've also created a brand for yourself, right? I mean, your merch is amazing, by the way. I'm a huge fan of your merch. It's so
cool.
Yeah. When I saw Mia, I was like, listen, this word
is iconic.
Literally so many emotions.
No, seriously. And that's really, Yuri putting a spin on everything that she does. That's really like Yuri's spin on it, Yuri's take on it. So yeah. I think it's great and people love it too. You know, everybody knows who they're talking about when they say like, yeah, the amount of people will tell me like, oh my gosh, me and my friend, we go back and forth saying, yeah, all day. Like we're in the office saying, yeah, we're in the office doing our post-it notes. Like, and that's literally, I always love to hear that.
I say it. You got me on it now. I mean, I say it to my residents. Yeah. It just, we'll come back to that.
Yeah. You know, and everyone knows what it means. It's like, yeah. Like, yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I'm not listening.
I love it. It's brilliant. I love it so much. And I, you know, I think that's another part where I've just been so impressed by what you've built because, you know, like I said, you know, you have such immense talent and you're doing such great work with your comedy, but then also building that personal brand is tough, you know? And I think a lot of times I see, again, you know, women, we have a hustle in us. And I think sometimes building that personal brand can be really tough. You know, it can be hard to transition from like, I guess, from one side of the business to another where you're now, okay, like here's me. You know, here's my side of it and my personality is coming in. And so it's just, I just love what you're doing and I just really, really enjoy everything about it. So I think you're pretty much nailing it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone that has ever engaged with my content, has ever had said nice things, I've ever shared my videos, anybody, you know, we're all in this together. We've all created this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to ask you, though, because I know that, you know, as much as we love the Kardashian skits that you do, you also have some other amazing skits on your social media. I know the few that you did about the kids that like, they'll say, they take what their parents say and they say it in a whole different way. Like those have just been like making me just die laughing. And so I want to talk a little bit more about your other work. If you could share some more, like, what are some things that have been inspiring you to, you know, make other types of, you know, parodies and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, as a mom and as a friend, you know, in general, like in life, these are just things. It's my everyday life. Like the car sick, I'm the car sick friend. Like that's who I am. Yeah. I'm the overly obsessive friend. So these skits that I do, they really are me just like in a more dramatic way. But that's what I mean by like just being inspired by any little thing. And I think I don't know how I got that. I don't know where it came from. I don't know who in my family has that, but I was blessed with that. And I think that really helps. And also because I'm a mom, I see a lot of mom content as well. And, you know, I also have mom friends and it was really funny. That idea actually came from my sister who told me a story because her son is now 16. And she told me that when he went to school, he would tell his teacher that his mom drinks and drives. And so the teacher had to have like a conversation with my sister. So that's what had inspired me, you know, and it's those everyday conversations that you have. So it's always having that like inspiration opportunity open.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I think creators will like block moments of like, okay, this is the time I create And this is the time I live life. And I just, you know, kind of push it all together because it is me and it is my life. So yeah, I think the inspiration comes from who I really am and the life that I actually live. But I think they're so funny too. You know, obviously some are more dramatic than others, but I think that's my spin on it, is the dramatization of it all.
Right, exactly. I mean, it feels like that too sometimes in our own heads. Like,
yeah, right.
Everything seems so dramatic, you know? So yeah. Very
relatable. Yeah, it really resonated with people. I didn't know it was going to be that relatable. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know so many parents went through this. I feel so bad. Like these kids are torturing us.
Literally. It actually, it reminds me a little bit of North as well. Like the few things I've seen of North with Kim's.
Oh my
Kim's just
God.
Literally, like, I love her. And I love how Kim handles her too. You know, it's just like, North, just not today. You know, yeah. Like, not today. Yeah. But it's really
it is cool. Her patience.
Yeah. I got to know though, you know, because you have amazing skin, by the way. I don't know if anyone's told you recently, but you have phenomenal skin. And I got to know, what skincare products are you using? Because all of our listeners, you know, we love skincare here. So I got to pick your brain a little bit about your favorites in whether it's beauty or skincare, if you could share some with us.
Yes, I have a lot of skincare favorites, and I would love to go back and forth with you since I know you're the expert. Have you heard of Dime Beauty?
Dime, yeah, I have.
Yeah. What is your thoughts on Dime Beauty?
I don't know of any like standout products that I use on the daily, but I mean, I'd love for you to tell me. Any recommendations?
So I love Dime Beauty. I started using Dime Beauty products back in 2022, and I really do feel like it helped elevate my skincare routine. So it was an entire like 5-step process. I love the products, but I felt like I needed more of like a glow. So I think that's when I started developing a lot of, you know, I would say techniques and routines and the desire to want to have like, you know, really nice skin. Also, because I'm 32 years old and I'm getting old. But so what I have found to be tried and true to my skin is Drunk Elephant products. I love the Drunk Elephant Gentle Jelly Cleanser. It's amazing. I've had like 3 bottles already. The first one was gifted to me by Drunk Elephant. And then I was like, I need to buy some more. So definitely Drunk Elephant. And then after I do my cleanser, I do a toner. And I have been using the Neutrogena Salicylic Acid toner. And people make fun of me because people are like, oh my God, that was my toner back in 2011.
Hey, but if it works.
It really helped with my acne. And I really think that your skin is an organ that will memorize and adapt to whatever you feed it. So if it works for me and I've been using it for 10 years, unfortunately, if I switch a product, it might be a little misleading if the product works for my skin or not, because my skin is so used to this toner that I've been using for the last 10 years. You know, so it's like other products generally don't work, but part of it is my fault, right? Because I've been using this product for so long, I got my skin used to it.
Yeah, your skin is like addicted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like I love the product and I do think it works, but I think it was the cause of my hyperpigmentation around like my dark areas on my face. So I've been trying to help those dark, like the dark spots on my skin with Typology. Typology is also a clean brand. They've sent me like this even complexion serum, and I really do believe that it works. So sometimes I will go back and forth with those. So I'll use that in the morning, but then I use my tried and true toner at night. Yeah. And then I do the Charlotte Tilbury Glow Toner. It has peptides in it. I love the Glow Toner. And then I top everything off with a moisturizer. So in the morning, I'll do the Charlotte Tilbury Flawless Primer SPF. I love it. My skin glows.
It's iconic. That is iconic. It's an
it's
iconic
heaven.
Moisturizer.
I love it.
Yeah.
I put it under every single like makeup primer, like a matte primer, and it doesn't bleed through. Like my makeup lays so nice. And then, but I don't use it in the evening because it's like I think it's a daytime, you know, primer. I think it's a daytime because of SPF and stuff. So at night, I'll use the Drunk Elephant, like it's a Drunk Elephant peptide cream. It's like a moisturizer.
Oh, yeah,
it's
I know.
So good.
proteiny yeah, like, or something. It's like yes, proteiny. Yeah.
That proteiny. Yes. I yeah. love that. Oh my gosh.
Love it.
I tell you, that has changed my skin. I only do it at night because I have my other routine in the morning. So yes, my skincare routine is very thought out, very calculated on my end.
It shows though. Your skin is always glowing. It's always glowing. Every time I see you on camera, it's like phenomenal. So it's like, I love her. Whatever she's doing, it's working. So
thank you. Yeah. I really try. I try to try new products, you know, but it's a learning curve because my skin, you know, is so used to what I use, and I'm such a creature of habit, you know, and I'm like, if it works, I don't want to, you know, break it or whatever. But yeah, those are mine. What do you think about those products?
Oh, those are solid products. Like, yeah. I think that, you know, especially even with the Neutrogena, I don't think, you know, funny story, when I was like, you know, we all went through our acne journey as teenagers, right? And like, there was a brand that broke me out so bad. Like, it literally traumatized me. Like, I had acne, but then I used one brand and it made it worse. But then I used Neutrogena, right? And it literally was a saving grace for me. I kid you not. It was like, their products are amazing. They actually do their homework. You know what I mean? And they're science backed. So I absolutely love Neutrogena. I think, like, you know, you just can't go wrong with them. And then with Dime, I have to explore Dime more, actually. Now that you've mentioned them, like, I need to dive into their products more because I haven't had like too much of a exposure to it. But yeah, huge fan of pretty much everything you listed. So
yeah, I'm all about, and this is my Courtney coming out, everything like clean ingredients, clean products, nothing, you know, nothing that I can't read on the label. I do want to ask you though about retinol. What is, I am very,
oh my God, you're going to open a can of worms with me.
I am very anti-retinol, but I swear when I will go on like TikTok live or Instagram live.
Yeah.
And people will say like, listen, I'm a dermatologist. I'm a licensed this. I've been doing facials for this. And it's like, okay, I don't know if you actually are, but everyone is pro retinol. And I don't know if I can make that leap to retinol yet.
I wish I could tell you I was in sync with, you know, my colleagues on this. I am not. I am very much in sync with what you said. I don't believe in retinol. If I'm going to be very honest with you, I've actually said it on like, and maybe I think I got a little grief for it because it was like really heavy, you know, like these derms that are really into like the allopathic medicine and they want to, you know, talk about retinol. And that's great. You know, that's great. But like retinol, to me, I don't think you need it. Like, that's the honest truth. I think there's way better stuff out there and ingredients out there that can achieve the results that you want without having to do it. Because here's the dirty truth about retinol, which I believe to be true after reading a lot of papers, okay? And that is, it damages your skin barrier. You know, it really does. It does. I mean, I can't tell you how many people, and including myself, have told me, Ekta, when I use retinol, literally 3 days later, I have the worst acne I've ever had in my life. And I'm like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Like, they're literally like, can't use it because after 2 days, they are breaking out in places they've never broken out before. Like, it's crazy to hear so many people have these I wouldn't say an adverse reaction, but they have this, right? That happens when they use retinol products, whether it's like tretinoin, prescription strength, or retinol, or retinol, it doesn't matter. It just causes some sort of, like, I don't know, does something to your skin barrier where it's not helping it initially. It might be in the long term, which a lot of the studies say it does. But for me and from my personal experience and from those I've heard, it's just it's not necessary, in my opinion. Like, I think there's just too much hype around it. And yeah, we can kind of go without it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do for your skin. You don't have to put retinol on it. And I think a lot of people are going to probably, you know, send me emails saying, why are you saying that? But I really believe in that. I don't think you need it.
I do too. I almost think it's this, I borderline think it's like this whole like a conspiracy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They push the wild like anti-aging, but I almost think it actually ages you to where you feel like you have to keep using it.
Yeah,
for this anti-aging to work. And then it's just, you put yourself in a cycle because like you already put it on your skin. You already gave it to your skin. Your skin's already eaten it. Like you said, it probably already broke the barrier. So in due time, it might work it back up, but it's not your natural barrier. It's not what was initially there is what retinol created. I don't know. That's just me in my opinion.
No, I mean, have you considered, you know, a career in medicine? Because you're on the money with that. Like, I really do. I mean, I agree with everything that you're saying. And it's not a hypothesis. I mean, it's a real thing. Like, at the end of the day, if something is making your skin worse and then better, like, that's a con. Like, that's, right? I'm sorry, but that's not why we buy skincare. Yeah. Red flag, huge red flag. Like, that's what never settled with me about retinol was like, why do I need to destroy my skin to then heal it again? Like, come on, you know, it just doesn't make sense. So,
Also, that product, I don't know if it's hyaluronic acid or if it's retinol that you can't use while you're pregnant.
Yeah. It's retinol.
Exactly. Like, if I can't use it when I'm pregnant, I probably shouldn't be using it at all, right?
Like, exactly. You said it.
It's like alcohol.
Exactly. Like, what things to not eat or consume or put on your skin when you're pregnant. Number one, retinol. It's a vitamin A derivative. It's a teratogen. And, you know, vitamin A, you know what's crazy, Yuri? I was on a podcast. I think it was a doctor I was interviewing. And I brought up this point. I was like, you know where we use vitamin A? In leukemias. In blood cancer. Yeah. Like, we use vitamin A as a treatment for severe blood cancers because what vitamin A does is it creates new cells, it tells cells to divide, right? So, like, we use it in people whose bone marrow is so compromised that they need new cells to develop there. That's where vitamin A is used. I know that it's been around in dermatology for forever, but that doesn't mean that it's, you know what I mean? Like, the holy grail thing. Like, especially nowadays, we have so many options. We have so many avenues we can go down. So when people beat that retinol drum, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to look the other way now. Like, walking away, you know?
That's what it is. It's people really driving it so much. It almost makes you think, like, am I crazy for not driving the same way? Because it's like, it almost makes you second guess your natural instincts, because so many people are pro retinol.
Exactly. And that's like a major, like, you know, I go into this so much on the show. It's just like this marketing, you know, it's just so much marketing. And it's like, where's the genuine stuff? You know, where is it? And it's, you can't find it. Normal consumers nowadays are just so bombarded with so much marketing that it's become a real, like, in my opinion, a healthcare problem. Like, you know, this is a whole tangent, but I can go on for days. If anyone wants to, you know, come on my show and talk to me about it, I can do that. But like, I really believe that marketing is skewing the way we're approaching healthcare. And, you know, and I that's, retinol is an example of that, in my opinion. But I think that, you know, with a lot of good skincare out there, there's a lot of options people can utilize. And, you know, there's hope. If you have acne or something that you're trying to target, you can do it without retinol. It's absolutely not needed. But I want to ask you, Yuri, I have a closing question for you. And I really, really would love for you to give some advice to all of the budding entrepreneurs out there, all of the budding actors out there, anyone who's trying to build their own brand on social media. If there's any words of wisdom you can offer about, you know, how to get started and have that confidence to kind of take the bull by the horns and do it, you know?
Yeah, I would say just make content, just create, just do it, because there's no difference between you and the person that's doing it except the fact that they're doing it. So if you want to be a creator, if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to have a clothing line, a merch line, any kind of product line, you just got to do it and you got to take it day by day. I got this from Kris Jenner at her LA event, and she said what makes them most successful is taking everything day by day. Like, okay, you want Kylie, she wanted a lip kit. Okay, what do we do first? Take a task, like, one step at a time. Don't look at it like full circle, and don't compare yourself to other people. I know that's probably one of the hardest things, and I do that too. Like, I'm guilty of doing that as well, but everyone's in their own lane, and you can't, like, I cannot tell you how many times I like wanted to be such a large creator back when I was 20 years old. And it didn't happen until my 30s. And I'm so grateful, because I probably would have been canceled about 15, 20 times if it happened when I was in my 20s. So I would just say, like, just everything is in due time. If you put in the work, it's going to happen, because it's inevitable that it's not, like, it's going to happen. There's no other way to it. So just, like, don't get discouraged. Just do it. Don't overthink it. You know, there's so many resources out there. There's a lot of advice that I can give, but if this sounds so cliche, but like, honestly, you guys, if I can do it, you have such a capacity to do it as well. And luckily in this day and age, there are things out there for every single person. There's audiences for every single person, every single niche with everything that you want to do. The people are out there. Just do it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's so honest. That's so real. And I thank you for offering that advice. And I hope anyone tuning in, if you are on the fence about, you know, starting your own thing and taking that dive, yeah, please take those words of wisdom to heart. That's really, really important, I think, to trust yourself. So thank you, Yuri, for that. And also, by the way, I love Kris Jenner. I think she's the biggest rock star. Like, I can't imagine building what she's built. You know what I mean? So I love that you mentioned her, where you got some advice from that angle, because I have mad respect for Kris and what she's done. So
No one has done it the way she's done it. So yeah. I feel like people need to give her a mic, like, please,
literally,
give her a microphone, give her a podcast, give her a TV show on her own masterclass, because like, she knows the recipe.
Literally, she really does. And it's just, anyways, it's such a treat. It's such a treat watching your skits and watching all of your amazing work. You're really, like, you know, it brightens my day every time I watch any of your content and any of your, you know, your work. So thank you so much for putting that out there. You're making all of us laugh in a time where, you know, we're all going through a lot right now, you know, so to have that comedic relief, to have that joy in our day, you know, even if it's like us, like 2 or 3 minutes of laughter, it just means the world. So I can't thank you enough for doing what you do and for doing it so beautifully and for giving me the opportunity to interview you and chat with you. It's been an honor.
Yeah, thank you so much. And your words are so sweet. I really appreciate it. You know, this is why we keep doing what we do. And I love to hear that from you and from people. So thank you so much. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. And for everyone listening, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you guys haven't subscribed to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts, wherever you tune in, make sure you do so. And yeah, send us some comments and questions or anything you thought about this episode. I hope you loved it. And if you have not checked out Yuri's content yet, I really urge you. You got to check her out. It's going to make you laugh, I promise. My fiance cracks up every time, by the way, Yuri. Every time he watches me watching your skits, he's always dying laughing as well. So it's for everybody.
Aw, thank you so much.
But thank you so much. And I'll be back next time.
Awesome. Thanks.